This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate Thursday. Welcome in, dudes and dudettes. Spectacular to have you along for the ride as we begin the foremost electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere, anytime, ever. As long as you ask my mom and nobody else, she would agree. I hope you will as well. We are cooking this AM, kids, because we have got no shortage of stuff that we've got to get to on the radio broadcast today. Team USA basketball making its debut last night in Vegas against Team Canada. And I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Like, it wasn't what you wanted to be on one hand, but on the other side, they also practiced 3 days before they went out there and played legitimately one of the best basketball teams that's not us last night and got a dub. So we're going to talk about that later on in the show. We've got to talk a little Major League Baseball. Bravos end a four-game win streak with a 7-5 loss last night against Arizona. I'm not upset with it. Like, the reality is the Braves have been leaning on pitching for a hot minute, right? The Braves have been leaning on pitching. They've been leaning on Chris Sale, Renato Lopez. They've been leaning on the bullpen, and that's fine. That's fine. If the bats aren't hot, you got to lean on the arms, and that's all good. Last night, you didn't have them. And you did not pull together the number of hits that you would have liked to have pulled together in a game that you were kind of behind the eight ball off the bump. We'll talk about that because I don't think there's any reason to panic. I don't think there's any reason to freak out about it. And then there's the big story from yesterday. Then there's the story that dominated American sports talk last night. Then there's the story that when you all heard it yesterday, every one of you said, cannot wait to tune in to the Rob Brown Show tomorrow morning because I know that Rob is going to be lighting this story up from segment one through hour four. And you are correct. It is the biggest story in sports right now. It is the only story that we should talk about from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. That story, of course, a cheating scandal rocking the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know that's the story that you tuned in to hear. And yes, it is the story that we will dive into dramatically throughout the course of the show. But before we get to any of that, allow us to say good day to the gentleman that will be sitting in the big chair, the in charge chair, the chair that, makes all the decisions. Filling in for the great Melonzo as he begins his 5 days of vacation. My man Brandon up in the house today in Lonzo's chair. What's up, bud?
Hey, man. I'm glad to be here. Get to work with you. Get to talk to all these lovely people.
Stop it. It is 6 a.m. You are not glad to be here.
Actually, right? I am. Well, see, I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you got kids.
Yeah, and I got four. About to have four kids. Come on now.
Like Heath Slater. He got kids. I will tell you. We are rapidly approaching. What do we got, July? So about 3 more months, we will have been in this time slot for a year. And what I can tell you is, I'm just never getting used to that 3:45 a.m. alarm. It's just never going to happen.
I did the same thing for a good 2.5 years. And so I worked for a delivery company, a uniform delivery company, and I had to, my worst day was Tuesdays. I would take from Simpsonville, I drive all the way down to Abbeville, and then I go from Abbeville down to Saluda, South Carolina, and then come back. That's another about a 3-hour drive almost. So yeah, I kind of relate on that one. I always dreaded my Tuesdays, but you know what though? Being here at the station, getting to work with you, I have a lot of fun. So I'm ready for this show, sir.
The show is fun. The whole point of the show is fun. There's too many people who take this too damn seriously. I'm just here not for a long time, but for a good time. Let's have a good time. We got 4 hours of sports talk entertainment underway. Jokes aside, and yes, there is. That part was not a joke. There is a cheating scandal that has rocked the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Y'all got rid of America's favorite overall athlete and winner of the 2024 Zoe for MVE, Most Valuable Eater. Y'all bounced my dog, Joey Chestnut, from the competition last night. Excuse me, this year. And last night, out comes a news story that one of the highlight athletes in the hot dog eating contest may have cheated. I do want to get to that. I've got to get to that coming up in a little while. But yes, indeed, we have to talk about the firing of Greg Berhalter yesterday. U.S. soccer finally gets it correct. It took him 10 days from the conclusion of Copa America to decide to do that thing that some of us have been screaming at them to do for the last 2 years and move off of Greg Berhalter as the manager of the United States men's national football team. It was the right call. It was a necessary call. I do not, and let me be very clear before we really dive into this, I do not celebrate people losing their job, okay? It stinks. I've lost my job before. It's painful. It can be a big bump in the road that some people never recover from. I don't celebrate people losing their jobs. However, let's all live in the real world for just a minute, okay? A lot of people lose their job, and they probably shouldn't. A lot of people lose their job over things that are outside of their control. I had a dear friend yesterday call me up and say, Rob Brown, if you got any leads on gigs, I'll take anything. I just got laid off from my position. And I said, why? And he said, because they figured out that they could dole the responsibility of my job onto two other people and not have to give them a raise to do it. So they just fired me. All right, that sucks, right? That's a life's unfair moment. But I would also say there is a time when your job directly impacts other people's lives, basically. When your performance has a direct influence on the health and the well-being of other people, then yeah, if you're bad at your job, if you fail at your job, sometimes people have to move on. Sometimes the pain of one person offsets or is offset by the betterment of dozens, tens, hundreds, thousands, millions of others. So I do not, just so we are clear, I celebrate that the American football program finally got their asses in gear and made a decision that many of us have been screaming needed to be made 2 years ago. I do not celebrate the loss of the job of Greg Berhalter. What I do celebrate is the opening of the position of manager to find somebody else. To find somebody who can roll up into that gig and do what Greg was incapable of doing, which is to take a team that has got more talent than it's ever had before. And I said this last night to my guy Nick on BetMGM tonight. I am beyond tired. I am beyond tired of being asked the question every time I do interviews on BetMGM Tonight, when I do interviews on You Better You Bet, when I do interviews on other radio stations around the country, as I am occasionally called on to do. I am getting very frustrated with having people ask the question, well, Rob, is it possible that maybe we're just not that talented? Could this be a talent issue? I am going to say it is on the players, all right? It is to some degree on the players. There were spots in that contest where I genuinely thought that the players laid it down, for sure, for certain. But I also think the players laying it down is partially on the coach. If you have got a team that you have assembled, that you have trained, that you have organized, that you have taught, and you get them to a competition as big as Copa America, especially this Copa, a Copa we're hosting, a Copa we're hosting that was your chance. That was your chance to get this country on board 2 years before we host a World Cup. This was your chance. And we put a turd of a performance out there. So now, guys like me who are sitting here knowing that there's a very good chance that I'm losing listeners right now talking about football in the opening segment of the show, talking about soccer in the opening segment of the show. I want to promote the World Cup. I want to pimp the World Cup. I want to generate excitement around, about, for the World Cup. I want to. Had we gone and done something in Copa, and I'm not saying win it. I'm saying perform. I'm not saying win it. I'm saying get out of the group. Don't become the first host nation in the history of the tournament to not escape the group. I'm not saying win it. I'm saying make it to the quarters. Make it to the semis. I'm not saying win it. I'm saying compete. Make a game against an Argentina or an Uruguay. Make it interesting. Make it exciting. Make it competitive. Make it feel like we have given ourselves a chance. We didn't. And as I told Nick last night, what does this country value above everything else? Winning. Winning. And whatever we're talking about, winning. That's what we care about. Winning. So, and I don't care what you're talking about. If you're talking about your individual life, you were talking about whatever that thing is you want. More money? Go make it. Winning. Better relationship? Go find the supermodel. Winning. New car? Go buy the Bugatti. Winning. But when it comes to sports, winning means winning. Winning means getting wins. Had the Americans, again, not even won Copa, had they competed, had they been in, had they given themselves a chance, it would have been a hell of a lot, a hell of a lot easier for us to get people on board for 2026. But right now, even some of us that are longtime American football fans, even some of us that are longtime fans are looking right now. I was waiting for the announcement yesterday that Greg Berhalter was going to be retained. I was waiting for the announcement yesterday we were going to keep him on board for another World Cup cycle. I was horrified. I was like, we waited 10 days. They're waiting for the rage to die down, for the anger to die down, so that they can slip on a random Wednesday night at halftime of a Copa America semifinal. They're going to slip a little note out there and try to kill it in the news cycle.
After a thorough review of Team USA Soccer's progress over the past 6 years, we've decided to maintain our relationship with manager Greg Berhalter.
And I was going to light my computer on fire. Not because I'm upset about that, but because from 4 years ago that it was announced that Team USA, that the United States of America would be the host of the 2026 World Cup, the world's largest sporting event. 6 years ago, or 4 years ago, whenever it was, that they announced that we'd have the World Cup, I don't do this very often, ask literally anyone who knows me, I went into planning mode. I went into planning mode. I was planning on spending money. I was planning on buying tickets. I was going to fly to some places, RV to others, road trip to others. I was going to New York. I was going to Dallas. I was going to LA. I was going to Atlanta. I was going to Orlando. I was going wherever the hell, Kansas City, Seattle, Austin, Texas. We know we were going to be guaranteed three football games in the World Cup. And I was going to at least those three. And then I was going to save a bunch more money down the line in order to go to the knockout rounds if we made it. Hopefully to the quarters if we made it. Hopefully to the semis if we made it. If we made it to a World Cup final, I was going to empty my retirement account to be there. And now I look at this team and I go, why? Why would I do that?
Did you get all your frequent flyer mile details as well to go to all these events? I know you were going to go to Atlanta for sure.
It is not a joke. I have been in planning. I had been in saving. Now, when they made this announcement, I didn't know I was getting married, and that was quite the wrench. Quite the wrench in the system. A wrench I'm willingly and thoroughly going forward with because I can't wait. But you better believe, even as I'm going through the wedding planning, I'm like, all right, now I got to spend even less money. No Skittles at the gas station for Rob Brown. That $1.97 has got to go into the other bank account so that when the World Cup... But now I'm like, am I spending the money? Do I really want to follow that team? Do I really want to trail that team around? If Greg was on board, the answer was no. Now that he's not, I wait to find out who the next coach is, and then I'll get to think about it and make that decision again. All right. We're going to talk more about this later on in the show. We got some Team USA basketball we got to get into it. Some Atlanta Braves baseball later in the show. All of that and more rolling up. Brandon in for the great one, Lonzo, this morning. He's with us all 4 hours. I hope you will be as well. When we come back here in just a minute, let's talk a little bit of Team USA basketball as they matched up with Team Canada last night out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Boys get the dub, but was it what we wanted to see? We'll talk about that when we come back. Brandon in for Zoe. I'm Rob Brown. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Good sports night last night. We had some Bravos baseball on last night. We had Colombia taking on Uruguay. Colombia with a 1-0 win despite playing the entire second half down a man. That was big for them last night. So we get a Colombia v. Argentina final on Sunday, on Saturday night. The Canadians will take on Uruguay for the bronze medal in Copa America. We'll talk more soccer later on in the show because it was a big, big, big day in American soccer yesterday. So we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little while. But I want to get to Team USA basketball because that was the cap last night. That was the nightcap. And I stayed up to watch it. I did. I stayed up past the bedtime to watch that game. I have said before, I've said again, I friggin' love Olympic basketball. I really do. And I love Olympic basketball. I talked about this yesterday I'm going to bring it up again right now because I want to transpose that onto the team itself. I love Olympic basketball because it genuinely feels like the one time that I can watch a bunch of these players and they're all on the same level as each other. And so they're all enjoy playing the game again, right? Like they look like me and the boys going out there and playing Y ball, playing pickup ball. They just look like they're enjoying it. After the game last night, Steph and LeBron got interviewed. These are two dudes that are playing together with each other for the first time at this level. They've missed each other throughout their careers. They were doing a post-game interview last night after they knocked off Team Canada. And they just looked like boys, man. They were just goofing off, having a good time. And that's great. I do like fun in my sports. You'll have to forgive me. I like to have fun. I want that. I need that. That makes sports fun. So does competition, though. So does winning, right? And while I understand on one hand, and you've heard me say this a number of times, winning international footy tournaments is not easy. World Cups every 4 years, only one team can win it, all right? At just keeping it a buck, I'm going to see in my lifetime, and this includes when I'm just a wee babe, in my lifetime, I'll see 20-ish World Cups. If I'm lucky, 21 or 22, if I'm not 19 or 18. That means in my lifetime, there will be somewhere between 18 and 22 World Cup champions. Winning them is not easy. It's just not. So when I've talked about wanting success in soccer, I have said what? I'm not saying we got to win everything. Just be competitive, right? Just be on the stage. Basketball, I feel a little bit different. Basketball, we should win every tournament. There should not be an international basketball tournament. This is why all those FIBA World Cups that we've played in and we've checked in third or fourth. I'm like, this is dumb. What are we doing? This is why, you know, earlier, we've won 3 golds in a row at the Olympics, but in those couple of Olympic games leading up to that last one, was it 2012? Anything less than a gold kind of felt like a gigantic disappointment, right? We should dominate in basketball. Eventually, I'd like soccer to kind of be in the same boat, but basketball is a sport that, and let's acknowledge, the world's getting a lot better at basketball. We got what? We got Serbia out of the gate. They got Nikola Jokic on that team. They've got Bogdanovic on that team. That's not a bad team. Canada last night, Jamal Murray's on that team. SGA's on that team. That's all-stars. But here's the thing. Most other countries, like the best other countries, might have 3 NBAers on their starting 5 and none off the bench. You know how many of our 11 guys are NBAers? Friggin' all of them. We should win every game. But in order to do that, you've got to have a team that cares, is having fun, but also wants to win. I don't know about you. Did you get to watch any of that game last night?
So I, like you, I have a bedtime when I have to come work in the early morning. So I only watched a little bit of any sports. Unfortunately, it was the Atlanta Braves game. And I was actually just about to ask you, is it not the best thing to watch international basketball versus America? Olympic-style basketball is just something better, and I wish I were able to watch it because I heard it was actually a pretty entertaining game. And, you know, I love basketball. I played basketball. I was my first sport. That's my first love. But I do wish I had a chance to watch it last night.
I did. I stayed up past the bedtime because I do not care about my own health or well-being. I stayed up late to watch that contest, and I liked what I saw a lot because the boys looked like they were enjoying it, But they started this game 0-for-6 from the field. And for a team that looked real loose in the warmups, when they started 0-for-6 from the field, all of a sudden the laughy jokey ha-has kind of stopped. The laughy jokey ha-has kind of took a back seat. The boys dialed in, and then they got going, and then they kept Canada off the glass. And what I am most happy to report to all of you that did not stay up late to watch that game last night, they played defense. Played defense. It was not like a lot of other games in a situation like this where the result isn't important. It's more about the development of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The result didn't matter. The development did. And last night, I watched a team play defense. Last night, I watched a team that really dialed in on the offensive side. I was very pleased with what I saw. I was very pleased with the team that was put together to go represent. And on top of that, let's also add in the drama that Kawhi Leonard left the team. So the team's only been together like 4 or 5 days now. They've only been on a practice court together, I think, 3 times so far. And then you already upset the chemistry by having Kawhi Leonard leave. If you missed that story, effectively Kawhi Leonard missed the end of the regular season and the playoffs for the Clippers because of a busted wheel. Kawhi was observed by the Clippers and Team USA Basketball in camp, and basically a joint decision was made by U.S. Basketball, the Clippers, and allegedly Kawhi that it would be better for him to leave the team, go rehab that knee, get ready for next NBA season. He was replaced by guard Derek White of the Boston Celtics. And by the way, for anybody who's all up in their fee-fees about that move, that's the right move. I saw a lot of people going, why not Jaylen Brown? Why not Jaylen Brown? Jaylen Brown series MVP in the NBA Finals. Why not Jaylen Brown? The answer is because the reason Kawhi was on that team was not because Kawhi's a big-time scoring threat, but because Kawhi's a perimeter defender. And if you look at some of the teams we're up against early, a lot of good wing players, a lot of good shooters we're up against. Derek White's a perimeter defender. Derek White made another All-NBA defensive team this year. Jaylen Brown's a scoring threat. Jaylen Brown's a slash-and-score guy. We didn't need that on this roster. We needed to replace a perimeter defender with a defender. That's Derek White. It was the right call. But from the perspective of chemistry, because some of those boys are boys with Kawhi, if your boy gets told by Team USA Basketball and his NBA team, yeah, you're not playing in the Olympics. You know, the Olympics that you leave to go to Abu Dhabi for your last 3 tune-up games tomorrow. And then you were going to go straight to Paris. Yeah, you're not going. We don't clear you. You got to go get your knee right. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I had a roadie planned with one of my guys and we were all jacked up about going and 2 hours before we got the car to leave, he went, hey, dude, I twisted my ankle. I can't go. I'd be kind of bummed. I'd still go, but I'd kind of be bummed about it, right? So the chemistry gets thrown for a loop, and then what those fellas do? They came out. They played good defense. They held Canada, a good Canada team, to 33% shooting. They looked like they were having a good time. The offense was clicking. Steph and Braun were on the same page. Joel Embiid was on the same page with whatever 4 were out there with him. Drew Holiday was being Drew Holiday, just a defensive megamind. I loved everything I saw last night. And I saw a team last night that is on its way. Because we still got, what is it? It's, what's today, July 11th?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks. Actually, I think doesn't the basketball tournament like start a day or two before the opening ceremony?
It starts 2 days before the opening ceremony. It's also because it's being played in Paris, so it's actually technically to us, it's almost 3 days ahead of schedule.
So it's we have effectively 10 days. We got 10 days till basketball.
You know, and you got to get that rust off, and that's what I was about to ask you was, do you think the way they started was just the rust? Because how many of the players played the entire postseason? They played the NBA Finals? Not very many. So they had the rest, and you're right. You have to get that camaraderie together. You have to wake up and say, all right, look, we're here together. Let's do this all together. And looking at the fact that the defense stepped up, I want you to tell me, when was the last time you saw solid defense that way, though?
I mean, listen, I like to think that every international competition means something. And I talked about this on the show yesterday. The reality is, these guys know that when they go to the Olympics, they are not going to – they're all superstars. They're all, you know, one or two or three on their respective teams, with a couple of exceptions. Like, Drew Holiday is probably fourth and most important on his – it's still very important. But, like, Drew Holiday. Outside of that, Jason Tatum, one on his team. LeBron James, one on his team. Anthony Davis, two. Joel Embiid, one on his team. You know, pick your poison here. Every one of those guys – is getting some level of superstar treatment in the NBA. They know when they go to the Olympics, they're not getting that. You're not getting the superstar calls. You're not getting the marquee calls. The, oh, I saw your face on the side of the friggin' building when I pulled in, so here's a whistle calls. You're not getting that. So it does require them to go back to playing basketball, the way that basketball is played by everybody else. And it takes some time. Again, they practiced three times before that game last night. For what I saw for that team last night to be on that click, three practices in, I'm happy. I'm happy. That's a team that can go win a gold medal. I am very happy. All right. Let's run to a break. When we come back here in a minute, we got a lot of stuff to get to. The Dodd Award winners list of nominees has been dropped. And there is a conference that I don't think you'll expect that has the most coaches nominated for the Coach of the Year award. I'll tell you which one it is, and we will go down some of them to see who's legit and who's not when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one out this weekend, or this week, Brandon, sitting in his chair as we roll on here on the show. The Bobby Dodd Award is handed out every year to college football's best coach. Is that the word we want to use here? Best coach? I guess we're going
maybe
with
like
best.
The most prolific for the year.
I don't know what you want to call it. Which, let's see. Here's how they describe it. Named for the legendary Georgia Tech coach Bobby Dodd, the Dodd Trophy was established in 1976 to honor the FBS football coach whose program represents the three pillars of success: scholarship, leadership, and integrity. As Bobby Bowden would say, the award honors the coach of a team with a successful season on the field and, equally as important, stresses the importance of academic excellence and desire to give back to the community. Okay. I mean, it's best coach, right? I mean, I guess at least in terms of if we are looking at it as what we view as a good coach in an idyllic system, right? In an idealistic world, we want football coaches who make players into great men, who take players and turn them into productive members of society. Like, sure, fine. It's the best coach. All right. We're looking for dubs here. So the award watch list came out for the Bobby Dodd Trophy. I'm going to give you the nominees. There's a lot of them. I'm going to give you the nominees, and I want you to see if you can pick up which conference has the most. Jeff Brohm, Mario Cristobal, Ryan Day, Dave Doran, Eli Drinkwitz, Kirk Ferentz, James Franklin, Marcus Freeman, Mike Gundy, Josh Heupel, Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin, Chris Klieman, Lance Leopold, Mike Norvell, Brent Pry, Lincoln Riley, Steve Sarkisian, Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, and Kyle Whittingham. Those are your nominees. That is six Atlantic Coast Conference coaches that headline the 2024 Bobby Dodd Trophy preseason watch list. 21 coaches are all out there. No conference has more than the ACC's six head coaches. Jeff Brohm of Louisville Mario Cristobal of Miami, Dave Dorn of NC State, Mike Norvell of FSU, Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, and of course, Dabo Swinney at Clemson. Of the 21 coaches on the 2024 watch list, five are previous winners of the Dodd Trophy, including two from the ACC. Dabo Swinney won it in 2011. Mike Norvell won it last year. But the ACC sent out a little interesting, and it's a PR email, right? When Rob Brown gets an email from the SEC or the ACC, 99% of the time, it's some bit of news dressed up as public relations. That's fine. That's fine. Because when conferences throw themselves out there, when they promote themselves, usually it's very interesting, in my opinion, usually interesting stuff to talk about. Let me read you what the ACC had to say in their Bobby Dodd preseason awards watch list and see what jumps off the page at you. Here's what they wrote up. Number one. The ACC is the conference of quarterbacks with the return of full-time starters Thomas Castellanos at Boston College, Cade Klubnik at Clemson, Haynes King at Georgia Tech, Preston Stone at SMU, and Kyron Drones at Virginia Tech, and transfers Malik Murphy at Duke, DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State, Tyler Shaw at Louisville, Cam Ward at Miami, Grayson McCall at NC State, and Kyle McCord at Syracuse, amongst others. They go on to say the ACC has the top-ranked group of quarterback transfers in 2024 by CBS Sports. 13 quarterbacks in the league enter the 2024 season with over 20 career touchdown passes and 3,500 career passing yards. 8 quarterbacks from ACC schools are projected to start week one in the 2024 NFL season. That is a quarter of NFL teams quarterbacked by former ACC school quarterbacks. And since 2018, the ACC has had at least one quarterback drafted in the first round in 5 different drafts, the only conference to do that. Which is, again, it's very interesting. Absolutely. And it's more interesting to me. It is not, I don't want to say more, that's not the right word. It is equally interesting to me that on this list of ACC quarterbacks that the conference is promoting, and again, it's promotion season in college football right now. It is schools promoting themselves. It is players promoting themselves. And it's conferences promoting themselves as we have conference media days that are taking place around the country right now. We had Big 12 media day where Mike Gundy was like, let me see what the dumbest thing I can say into a microphone is. And then we have kicked off Pac-2 media day, which, by the way, is my favorite thing. I got to tell you right now, I wish I was a radio show host in Pac-12 country right now. And by in Pac-12 country, I mean in Oregon. Phenomenal. The Pac-2 media day took place in a ballroom at a hotel with two teams, the two mascots of which were the primary focus. And they just had a one-night open bar media night. You kidding me? I'd have had a freaking blast. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was awkward. It was painful. But at least they said, hey, we know none of y'all want to be here. We know none of y'all need to be here. So here is an open bar for your troubles. I mean, I do appreciate that.
Let's get elite and wasted at a media day, right?
What else are you going to do? I got 15 minutes and two coaches. I can knock out all. What do you got? You bring, most schools bring 5 players, somewhere between 3 and 5. Let's say you got 10 players who are all going to speak for 10 minutes. You got 2 coaches who are going to speak for half an hour tops. I'm looking at like 3 hours max of covering this event, but you made me come to a hotel? Hell yeah, open bar. I've done knocked out all of my articles for the week by 9 p.m. Hell yeah, give me an open bar. All right, anyway, not the point. I love the ACC throwing out there their quarterbacks. I love them throwing out there and promoting the quarterbacks. There are some I'm interested in. Thomas Castellanos, I don't know what he's got. Haynes King at Georgia Tech. I think Haynes King might be a pretty good quarterback. I just don't know what Brent Key's doing at Georgia Tech right now. Scratch that. That makes it sound like I don't know if he knows what he's doing. I actually really like Brent Key. I actually really like how he's handling his business at the Ramblin' Wreck. I'm a big fan. I just don't know how to, I don't know how good Georgia Tech can be in Atlanta. I just don't know how good they can be. But I think Haynes King can be pretty good. Cam Ward is probably the biggest question mark in the ACC. If Cam Ward is ever, remember Cam Ward, there was a recruiting war once Cam Ward went into the portal. Florida State wanted him, Miami wanted him, like everybody wanted a piece of Cam Ward. If Cam Ward hits his marks this year, maybe Miami can be good. Again, Miami's in that category with Ole Miss and Mississippi State of, I hear they're back every year. I'll believe it when they're back. When they're back, I'll believe they're back. But until then, stop. Stop. Tyler Shrock at Louisville. Grayson McCall at NC State. Kyle McCord, former Ohio State Buckeye at Syracuse. Like, is this a great crop of quarterbacks for the ACC? It doesn't feel like it is to me. Which of these guys? DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State. Again, I think it is, and I've said this before, I think it is fair to ask the question, was DJ Uiagalelei below average at Clemson, or has Clemson lost their touch in developing quarterbacks? Or both. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But DJ Uiagalelei goes up to Oregon State, becomes a Beaver, and he does slightly better. I didn't blow anybody away, but he did slightly better. I would also make the argument that I don't think Oregon State had the weapons that Clemson had. So to develop him into a slightly better quarterback with, again, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Clemson fans, less talent at Oregon State is interesting. Now he comes down to Florida State. In fairness, I got no idea what the hell Florida State's rolling out this year. They lose their number one running back. They lose their top two wide receivers. They lose their title. Like, they lost a lot at Florida State. And if that is the case, do they have the weaponry to let DJ Uiagalelei break out? I don't know. Point here is, I find the ACC leaning on their quarterbacks as their strength kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Because I then again, if I'm looking around the country this year at the top quarterbacks in 2024, right? Who are we putting on that list? And maybe we'll break this down. Is Carson Beck at Georgia, who did almost have 4,000 yards last year, is Carson Beck a guy that blows you off the page? Or is he just benefiting from playing at a damn good Georgia team? I don't know. I do like Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. I think Quinn Ewers is overrated at Texas. And I think Quinn Ewers is getting exposed this year. Jalen Milroe at Alabama's fine. 2,800 yards last year. I don't know. And then on top of that, you add that he's in Kalen DeBoer's system now, right? You've changed head coaches. I don't know. I'll tell you a guy that's under the radar for a lot of people right now that I do like. Noah Fifita at Arizona. I think Noah Fifita is going to be a dude this year. Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. Jackson Dart, I feel, is a guy that I put up there with Quinn Ewers. Like, I think he's good, but I think he's got a lot of weakness to his game. I think Jackson Dart can be protected by the fact that Lane Kiffin did a wonderful job working the portal to get him some talent. I think Jalen Daniels at Kansas is going to be a stud. I'm not sold on Shedeur Sanders yet. I think Shedeur Sanders survives by being a freak athlete, but I don't think he's a great quarterback. Cam Rising at Utah is a guy that I think we've seen can be a good dude, but I don't know what that dude looks like after missing effectively back-to-back years at this point. And Cam Ward at Miami, who I've already talked about. Maybe the ACC is lacking at quarterback, and I'm just not seeing it. Because they are promoting the hell out of quarterbacks in the ACC right now. Like, that's what the ACC is promoting right now. Look at our quarterbacks. Look how good, look how deep we are at quarterback. Are they? Texas says Drew Allar at Penn State. Good with that one, too. Are they good at quarterback, the ACC? But I'm also looking around at the top-ranked quarterbacks nationally. – And there's like three or four that I'm like, that guy's good. There's really not that many this year. Or is it just me?
You know how you said they're focusing on the ACC quarterbacks. Unfortunately, you know, I know this is going to make people upset with Clemson. Is Cade Klubnik off the milk carton yet, though? Because we don't know what he's capable of just yet. You know, is this going to be the year he finally comes out of his shell, lights it up left and right, could possibly win the Heisman, lead Clemson to an undefeated season? We don't know that kind of thing. So, you know, you say that they're focusing on the cornerbacks, but a lot of the quarterbacks in the ACC, like I said, milk cartons right now.
There are, I think, and you know, there are people who don't like this style of radio. People are, I don't care. There's two ways that most, not all. There's two ways that most radio dudes are handling the conversation about Cade Klubnik right now. On one hand, there's a bunch of people going, Cade Klubnik's the best. He's fine. Everything's great. Don't worry about it. He's going to throw for 1,000 touchdowns this year. And then there's the other half of radio people across the upstate of South Carolina, really across the state of South Carolina, who are going, this guy stinks. He's overrated. Dabo screwed the pooch. He's bad at... The answer to me is, I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. Let's not pretend that he wasn't working in Garrett Riley's offense last year. Let's not pretend that he wasn't under a first-year OC last year, that the entire system didn't shift last year. And, oh, by the way, as a first-year quarterback, right? He got growed up under the old way, and then right before he became the starting full-time quarterback, they're like, oh, by the way, everything you thought you knew, everything you had together, yeah, we're changing all of it. Garrett Riley's here now. So I don't know is the answer. I don't know what Cade Klubnik's going to be. But that's also part of the reason that I'm reading this email from the ACC, and I'm like, really? The conference of quarterbacks? Is that what the ACC is digging their heels into? The conference of quarterbacks? I don't know how I feel about that. All right. We got to run to our final break of hour number one. When we come back in hour number two, we got your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know. You have the sports flash theme. I forgot to ask you. Beautiful. See, I knew Brandon was on top of it. Why don't I even ask? When we come back, water cooler cheat sheet, give you the top three sports stories going on in sports today. We'll get a couple more college football discussions in here. We'll take a look at the NFL because the early week one betting lines are out. It's too early to bet them, but we'll talk about it anyway. We do all of that after the, what's today? Thursday? So we've had 3 days. Fourth best sports flash that you've heard this week.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one out this weekend, or this week, Brandon, sitting in his chair as we roll on here on the show. The Bobby Dodd Award is handed out every year to college football's best coach. Is that the word we want to use here? Best coach? I guess we're going
maybe
with
like
best.
The most prolific for the year.
I don't know what you want to call it. Which, let's see. Here's how they describe it. Named for the legendary Georgia Tech coach Bobby Dodd, the Dodd Trophy was established in 1976 to honor the FBS football coach whose program represents the three pillars of success: scholarship, leadership, and integrity. As Bobby Bowden would say, the award honors the coach of a team with a successful season on the field and, equally as important, stresses the importance of academic excellence and desire to give back to the community. Okay. I mean, it's best coach, right? I mean, I guess it, at least in terms of if we are looking at it as what we view as a good coach in an idyllic system, right? in an idealistic world, we want football coaches who make players into great men, who take players and turn them into productive members of society. Like, sure, fine. It's the best coach. All right, we're looking for dubs here. So the award watch list came out for the Bobby Dodd Trophy. I'm going to give you the nominees. There's a lot of them. I'm going to give you the nominees, and I want you to see if you can pick up which conference has the most. Jeff Brohm, Mario Cristobal, Ryan Day, Dave Doran, Eli Drinkwitz, Kirk Ferentz, James Franklin, Marcus Freeman, Mike Gundy, Josh Heupel, Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin, Chris Klieman, Lance Leopold, Mike Norvell, Brent Pry, Lincoln Riley, Steve Sarkisian, Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, and Kyle Whittingham. Those are your nominees. That is six Atlantic Coast Conference coaches that headline the 2024 Bobby Dodd Trophy preseason watch list. 21 coaches are all out there. No conference has more than the ACC's six head coaches. Jeff Brohm of Louisville, Mario Cristobal of Miami, Dave Doran of NC State, Mike Norvell of FSU, Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, and of course Dabo Swinney at Clemson. Of the 21 coaches on the 2024 watch list, five are previous winners of the Dodd Trophy, including two from the ACC. Dabo Swinney won it in 2011. Mike Norvell won it last year. But the ACC sent out a little interesting, and it's a PR email, right? When Rob Brown gets an email from the SEC or the ACC, 99% of the time, it's some bit of news dressed up as public relations. That's fine. Because when conferences throw themselves out there, when they promote themselves, usually it's very interesting, in my opinion, usually interesting stuff to talk about. Let me read you what the ACC had to say in their Bobby Dodd preseason awards watch list and see what jumps off the page at you. Here's what they wrote up. Number one. The ACC is the conference of quarterbacks with the return of full-time starters Thomas Castellanos at Boston College, Cade Klubnik at Clemson, Haynes King at Georgia Tech, Preston Stone at SMU, and Kyron Drones at Virginia Tech, and transfers Malik Murphy at Duke, DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State, Tyler Shaw at Louisville, Cam Ward at Miami, Grayson McCall at NC State, and Kyle McCord at Syracuse, amongst others. They go on to say the ACC has the top-ranked group of quarterback transfers in 2024 by CBS Sports. 13 quarterbacks in the league enter the 2024 season with over 20 career touchdown passes and 3,500 career passing yards. Eight quarterbacks from ACC schools are projected to start week one in the 2024 NFL season. That is a quarter of NFL teams quarterbacked by former ACC school quarterbacks. And since 2018, the ACC has had at least one quarterback drafted in the first round in five different drafts, the only conference to do that. Which is, again, it's very interesting. Absolutely. And it's more interesting to me. It is not, I don't want to say more. That's not the right word. It is equally interesting to me that on this list of ACC quarterbacks that the conference is promoting, and again, it's promotion season in college football right now. It is schools promoting themselves. It is players promoting themselves. And it's conferences promoting themselves as we have conference media days that are taking place around the country right now. We had Big 12 media day where Mike Gundy was like, let me see what the dumbest thing I can say into a microphone is. And then we have kicked off Pac-2 media day, which, by the way, is my favorite thing. I got to tell you right now, I wish I was a radio show host in Pac-12 country right now. And by Pac-12 country, I mean in Oregon. Phenomenal. The Pac-2 media day took place in a ballroom at a hotel with two teams, the two mascots of which were the primary focus. And they just had a one-night open bar media night. Are you kidding me? I'd have had a freaking blast. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was awkward. It was painful, but at least they said, hey, we know none of y'all want to be here. We know none of y'all need to be here. So here is an open bar for your troubles. I mean, I do appreciate that.
Let's get elite and wasted at a media day, right?
What else are you going to do? I got 15 minutes and two coaches. I can knock out all. What do you got? You bring, most schools bring five players, somewhere between three and five. Let's say they brought, you got 10 players who are all going to speak for 10 minutes. You got two coaches who are going to speak for half an hour tops. I'm looking at like 3 hours max of covering this event, but you made me come to a hotel? Hell yeah, open bar. I've done knocked out all of my articles for the week by 9 p.m. Hell yeah, give me an open bar. All right, anyway, not the point. I love the ACC throwing out there their quarterbacks. I love them throwing out there and promoting the quarterbacks. There are some I'm interested in. Thomas Castellanos, I don't know what he's got. Haynes King at Georgia Tech. I think Haynes King might be a pretty good quarterback. I just don't know what Brent Key's doing at Georgia Tech right now. Scratch that. That makes it sound like I don't know if he knows what he's doing. I actually really like Brent Key. I actually really like how he's handling his business at the Ramblin' Wreck. I'm a big fan. I just don't know how good Georgia Tech can be in Atlanta. I just don't know how good they can be. But I think Haynes King can be pretty good. Cam Ward is probably the biggest question mark in the ACC. If Cam Ward is ever, remember Cam Ward, there was a recruiting war once Cam Ward went into the portal. Florida State wanted him, Miami wanted him, like everybody wanted a piece of Cam Ward. If Cam Ward hits his marks this year, maybe Miami can be good. Again, Miami's in that category with Ole Miss and Mississippi State of, I hear they're back every year. I'll believe it when they're back. When they're back, I'll believe they're back. But until then, stop. Stop. Tyler Shrupp at Louisville. Grayson McCall at NC State. Kyle McCord, former Ohio State Buckeye at Syracuse. Like, is this a great crop of quarterbacks for the ACC? It doesn't feel like it is to me. Which of these guys? DJ Uiagalelei at Florida State. Again, I think it is, and I've said this before, I think it is fair to ask the question, was DJ Uiagalelei below average at Clemson? Or has Clemson lost their touch in developing quarterbacks? Or both. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But DJ Uiagalelei goes up to Oregon State, becomes a Beaver, and he does slightly better. I didn't blow anybody away, but he did slightly better. I would also make the argument that I don't think Oregon State had the weapons that Clemson had. So to develop him into a slightly better quarterback with, again, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Clemson fans, less talent at Oregon State is interesting. Now he comes down to Florida State. In fairness, I got no idea what the hell Florida State's rolling out this year. They lose their number one running back. They lose their top two wide receivers. They lose their title. Like, they lost a lot at Florida State. And if that is the case, do they have the weaponry to let DJ Uiagalelei break out? I don't know. Point here is, I find the ACC leaning on their quarterbacks as their strength kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Because I then again, if I'm looking around the country this year at the top quarterbacks in 2024, right? Who are we putting on that list? And maybe we'll break this down. Is Carson Beck at Georgia, who did almost have 4,000 yards last year, is Carson Beck a guy that blows you off the page? Or is he just benefiting from playing at a damn good Georgia team? I don't know. I do like Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. I think Quinn Ewers is overrated at Texas. And I think Quinn Ewers is getting exposed this year. Jalen Milroe at Alabama is fine. 2,800 yards last year. I don't know. And then on top of that, you add that he's in Kalen DeBoer's system now, right? You've changed head coaches. I don't know. I'll tell you a guy that's under the radar for a lot of people right now that I do like. Noah Fifita at Arizona. I think Noah Fifita is going to be a dude this year. Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. Jackson Dart, I feel, is a guy that I put up there with Quinn Ewers. Like, I think he's good, but I think he's got a lot of weakness to his game. I think Jackson Dart can be protected by the fact that Lane Kiffin did a wonderful job working the portal to get him some talent. I think Jalen Daniels at Kansas is going to be a stud. I'm not sold on Shador Sanders yet. I think Shador Sanders survives by being a freak athlete, but I don't think he's a great quarterback. Cam Rising at Utah is a guy that I think we've seen can be a good dude, but I don't know what that dude looks like after missing effectively back-to-back years at this point. And Cam Ward at Miami, who I've already talked about. Maybe the ACC is lacking at quarterback and I'm just not seeing it because they are promoting the hell out of quarterbacks in the ACC right now. Like, that's what the ACC is promoting right now. Look at our quarterbacks. Look how good, look how deep we are at quarterback. Are they? Texas says Drew Allar at Penn State. Good with that one too. Are they good at quarterback, the ACC? But I'm also looking around at the top-ranked quarterbacks nationally, and there's like three or four that I'm like, that guy's good. There's really not that many this year. Or is it just me?
You know how you said they're focusing on the ACC quarterbacks. Unfortunately, you know, I know this is going to make people upset with Clemson. Is Cade Klubnik off the milk carton yet, though? Because we don't know what he's capable of just yet. You know, is this going to be the year he finally comes out of his shell, lights it up left and right, could possibly win the Heisman, lead Clemson to an undefeated season? We don't know that kind of thing. So, you know, you say that they're focusing on the quarterbacks, but a lot of the quarterbacks in the ACC, like I said, milk cartons right now.
There are, I think, and you know, there are people who don't like this style of radio. People are. I don't care. There's two ways that most radio dudes are handling the conversation about Cade Klubnik right now. On one hand, there's a bunch of people going, Cade Klubnik's the best. He's fine. Everything's great. Don't worry about it. He's going to throw for 1,000 touchdowns this year. And then there's the other half of radio people across the upstate of South Carolina, really across the state of South Carolina, who are going, this guy stinks. He's overrated. Dabo screwed the pooch. He's bad. The answer to me is, I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. Let's not pretend that he wasn't working in Garrett Riley's offense last year. Let's not pretend that he wasn't under a first-year OC last year, that the entire system didn't shift last year. And, oh, by the way, as a first-year quarterback, right? He got growed up under the old way, and then right before he became the starting full-time quarterback, they're like, oh, by the way, everything you thought you knew, everything you had together, yeah, we're changing all of it. Garrett Riley's here now. So I don't know is the answer. I don't know what Cade Klubnik's going to be. But that's also part of the reason that I'm reading this email from the email and from the ACC. And I'm like, really? The conference of quarterbacks? Is that what the ACC is digging their heels into? The conference of quarterbacks? I don't know how I feel about that. All right. We got to run to our final break of hour number one. When we come back in hour number two, we got your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know. You have the sports flash theme. I forgot to ask you. Beautiful. See, I knew Brandon was on top of it. Why did I even ask? When we come back, water cooler cheat sheet, give you the top three sports stories going on in sports today. We'll get a couple more college football discussions in here. We'll take a look at the NFL because the early week one betting lines are out. It's too early to bet them, but we'll talk about it anyway. We do all of that after the, what's today, Thursday? So we've had 3 days. Fourth best sports flash that you've heard this week.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.